This is attorney Larry Rowe. Question: why would you take a local auto crash case to a huge out-of-state law firm? Be smart, stay local, and visit me at LarryLRowe.com.
This is Retire Right Radio, a weekly show from John Burdett at 4th Avenue Financial that aims to answer your questions about financial planning, investing, and how to retire right. 4th Avenue Financial is located in downtown Charleston at 170 Court Street. More information online at 4thavenuefinancial.com. Join the conversation by calling 304-345-5858 or text 304-935-5008.
On and welcome Radio. To Monday Let's Morning Edition to the of with host Retire Cooper Right Radio. Jeff Burdett Jenkins in for Dale Avenue Cooper Financial. Today, and John Burdett of 4th Avenue Financial is with us. And as John DaVinci just told us, the number to call is 304-345-5858, 304-345-5858. I've been in the studio for a couple of minutes here with John, and I was teasing John, saying he's the calmest guy in the room.
Well, I try to be.
How are you doing on these turbulent, topsy-turvy days in the market, John?
Well, it's certainly more interesting than sometimes, but the reality is we are seeing a slide back, which is very typical when you have a market downdraft. You see a rally, and then oftentimes the market fades and it tests those lows again, and that's maybe what we're seeing. Hopefully those lows hold. They may not, and in which case, it'll find a new depth to explore, and we'll see what happens from there.
Is it kind of been in this? How long has it been in this kind of swing we're talking
about?
Well,
really, all year it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride. And what has made it even more difficult is the fact that the bond market is not providing the safety that the bond market normally provides. So usually when the stock market gets upset, money will flow into bonds and bid the bond prices up. So if you're in a diversified portfolio, there's a little bit of a ballast there to help stabilize things. This year that hasn't been the case. This year the stock market sold off, the bond market sold off because of the inflation and the Fed raising rates and the expectation that the Fed is going to have to be very aggressive raising rates. So really the bond market has not been the safe spot that normally you see in a market downturn. So that won't persist forever, mm-hmm. but that's what we're experiencing right now.
So who is doing the best right now? Is there a segment of people that are doing the best?
Well, if you own energy stocks, that sector is certainly in favor. Food, commodities, the basic things that that we use in our everyday lives has really been the safe place. Real estate has been very hot, normally real assets like that in an inflationary environment do well. However, with rising rates, there's going to be a little bit of a test there to see what happens to some of those prices that have run up so much. So we'll have to see.
John Burdett's with us at 4th Avenue Financial. And you guys, John, offer services this is why where you guys would be really valuable.
Yes.
At this time.
That's correct. The biggest mistake an individual can make in their financial life is making decisions emotionally. And so seeing the news, getting tied up too much in that, and altering your long-term plans based on what's happening short-term. And the reality is, if you have your portfolio set up properly, where you have your long-term money and long-term investments and your short-term money out of the market, you can weather these type of things because these are not abnormal things. This certainly is one of those cases where the reason that these things are happening might be novel, with the hangover from the coronavirus and all the actions that the government took. But if you look at market downturns, this is just part of being in the market. When you think about a correction of 10% or greater, those happen every year and a half. Like clock, that's part of being in the market. Big declines, 20% or more, those happen about once every 5 years. If you're going to retire, you're going to have a handful of these episodes throughout your retirement that you're going to have to deal with. So we can't predict when they're going to happen. Nobody can do that. But you have to build your portfolio with the expectation that it is going to happen and make it resilient to that.
Okay, so what you're telling me then is the input to the equation's different, but the results are the same. And there have been, obviously, in the history of the market, a lot of market downturns.
A lot of market downturns. And every single time, which is a pretty good track record, the market has ended up at a higher level. Yeah. In a number of, you know, in a period of time afterwards. It's never failed to reach new highs, that basically, if given enough time.
Mm-hmm. So that's really good advice. And but as it continues, and maybe because we're hit with so much more news today and social media and everything, maybe the panic there is a little more. I mean, we're coming out of something that we don't – I mean, you know, never had COVID-19.
Absolutely. I mean, any time especially, I think, to a degree, we've been lulled into this calmness, too, other than the sharp downturn from COVID, which rebounded exceptionally fast.
Right.
We've really had a number of years straight where the market just seemed to go up, 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 up. And people kind of forgot that, hey, that doesn't always happen in the stock market. You know, these markets can be volatile, The period of calmness we had was really more abnormal than what we're having now. This is just part of market history.
Are you talking about, say, you got a 401k and it's really taking a hit? Are you is in most case, and I know every case is different, so maybe that's not a fair question, but is it just little tweaks you have to make, a review of things? I mean, how much is the change that maybe need to be made, if there's any change at all?
Well, a lot of times when you look at a market downturn like this, you know, it may be even not wise to change necessarily in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really need to review your situation, first of all, and decide what makes sense where you are in your life. Because a 30-year-old going through this is a lot different than a 65-year-old going through this. Their needs are different. Their time horizons are different. Their ability to weather this is different. You know, when you have an income need for retirement, that changes the equation greatly. You know, these types of events sometimes expose bad strategy, because if you have an income need and the market's down 20%, it's very hard to recover if you're taking money out every month. Even though the market may eventually recover, will eventually recover, you might not personally recover if you're taking money out and it doesn't have a chance and an opportunity to grow back. That's why it's so important in your financial life to figure out what are my needs in the next 3 years, 5 years. You know, what are my long-term needs versus my short-term needs, and allocate the portfolio properly with that being the guide. So if you know that, hey, I've got income needs of $1,000 a month coming out of the portfolio, you know, a portion of your money needs to be short-term money to provide for that income need. It shouldn't be in the stock market. But long-term, ownership of companies keeps up with things, grows, and keeps up with inflation historically. That's a long-term need you have as a retiree. So you have to have both investment tools put to work for you to build a portfolio that will work in that situation. And you have to accept, and that's what the difficult part is, you have to accept that that long-term part of the portfolio is going to have some volatility in it. But you have to also realize that long-term, you know, looking at history and putting that in perspective, you know, what that is meant to accomplish. And that, you know, we've done the planning properly, so I don't have to worry about what my income's going to be next month, because it's not in that long-term bucket. And if you think about, and I think, too, it helps in these environments to understand really what it is you own. A lot of times people get a statement in the mail, and it's just a bunch of numbers, and they see them in red, and it makes them nervous. You know, I don't like red numbers on my statement either. No one really does. But, you know, those numbers represent something. Those numbers represent ownership, pieces of ownership in all the companies that are surrounding us every day, all the goods and services that we use. Those companies are out there trying to deliver goods and services to people, trying to innovate, trying to solve problems that people have, which over time makes them valuable, makes their earnings grow, makes their dividends grow. And if you look at it and think about it that way, it's much, much less scary, because serving other people never goes out of style. You know, if you're valuable to somebody else, you know, there's going to be some sort of a value put on that as far as, you know, your portfolio value. And if you kind of break it down and think about it that way, it might be less scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to Disney right now. Even though the market's melting down, their parking lot's full. You know, people are wrapped around the, you know, all the fast food restaurants this morning getting breakfast and coffee. You know, things are still happening. Things are still going on. Companies are still earning money. Dividends are still being paid.
So, and John Burdett's with us, 4th Avenue Financial. Number to call 304-345-5858, 304-345-5858. So you offer services, obviously, to the 30-year-old, to the 54-year-old who might retire in 8 years, or to the 67-year-old who retired 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
And maybe taking money out of their 401k now and maybe needs to look at that a little bit.
Absolutely. And these are the things, too, ongoing. Trying to keep your portfolio in balance is important. You know, at the end of last year, we were talking about how the tech stocks had roared ahead. They were leading the market in last year's big increase in value. We talked about how wise it is to reallocate and reposition. In other words, if you let things like that run, let's say 15% of your portfolio was large cap growth, tech stocks, things like that, at the end of the year, that might have grown to 25% of your portfolio. You know, one of the strategies that we use is to harvest some of those gains and keep those percentages in balance to keep the risk profile in check. Otherwise, you're allowing the more aggressive pieces that grow into larger portions of your portfolio, you get more aggressive stance over time in your portfolio as you get older, and probably shouldn't be in that. So that's why it's so important to you know, have a strategy to stay in balance once you pick that portfolio that makes sense for you. Otherwise, it will outgrow those allocations. And sure enough, this year, what are some of the worst performing things? What performed the best last year? The cycle turns. Mm-hmm. And so you want to always, even when you take your distributions, you know, be harvesting the gains so you can keep the risk tolerance the same in the portfolio and the diversity intact in the portfolio.
Will this cause, do dips like this, people who are near retirement, does this cause people to work longer?
Well, it can. I mean, it doesn't have to. Some of that has to do with where you position properly going into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a handful of years out from retiring, you know, that's the time to really start looking at this portfolio and making sure that you're making the allocations properly to contend with what will my income needs be and where is that going to come from in the first few years of retirement. You know, to give yourself some sort of a runway there that I know where this income's coming from. And if you have that intact, then this doesn't necessarily change anything. Yes, the portfolio may be down, but you know where your income's coming from for the next handful of years. You know, if you have 3, 4, 5 years worth of short-term money put aside to meet your income needs, you know, most market declines have, you know, found their way out of it in 3, 4, 5 years.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a bridge.
Yeah.
A little bit of a bridge there.
Yeah, and then when the market has a great year, harvest some of those gains.
Take the gains.
Fill that back up into the short-term bucket that you need for income.
Okay. You've calmed me down, John.
There you go.
John Burdett, I got a couple questions to ask him when we come back from the break. In the last couple of weeks, we've been given another date when Social Security will be out of money. and then we'll talk about the inflation rate that came out, too, and what that means to us.
Yes.
So it's 834. Lines are open. John Burdett, 4th Avenue Financial, Retire Right Radio. Really good advice. Number to call, 304-345-5858. 304-345-5858. Back in a moment on 580 WCHS.
Are you feeling uneasy about recent stock market volatility? That may indicate it's time for a financial checkup. Volatility is an unavoidable feature of the market. Your portfolio should be designed to deal with the ups and downs of the market while giving you the peace of mind to live comfortably in retirement. Give me a call or book online today. Your no-cost, no-obligation financial checkup. Retire right with John Burdett, 4thAvenueFinancial.com.
Securities offered through JW Cole Financial Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through JW Cole Advisors Incorporated, JW Cole Financial, JW Cole Advisors, and 4th Avenue Financial are unaffiliated entities.
Carla's retiring early next month. We're all going to have to learn to pick up the slack.
The dessert-making role at Sawyer's Restaurant, deserted.
Tom, if you can handle beignets.
They need a new pastry chef who can souffle like it's a piece of cake.
Come on, guys, we got a line out the door. How much longer for those croissants?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Earn up to $500 in sponsored job credits by conducting interviews on Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting around safely these days is no small task, but KRT delivers for Kanawha County every day. Do you have a job to go to? KRT delivers the workforce. Do you need to go to the store? KRT delivers for the economy. You gotta see the newest band in town? KRT delivers that too. KRT buses are clean, convenient, and affordable. KRT delivers. For route schedules and fare information, go to rideonkrt.com.
To you by City National Bank, where you can turn your dreams into reality with a home equity line of credit. For a convenient location near you, log on to bankatcity.com.
All is well on this Monday morning commute. We have no issues, accidents, or major problems to inform you about. We still have some pothole patching crews out today. I-77 southbound between mile markers 111 and 113. That's going to be between Tupper's Creek and Pocatalico. Also, we've got other crews out performing maintenance like mowing. If you do see a crew out, please slow down and please move over. From the WCHS Network Traffic Studio, I'm Jenny Murray.
This is Retire Right Radio with John Burdett from 4th Avenue Financial. Taking your calls at 304-345-5858 or texts on 304-935-5008.
837-0580-WCHS, the voice of Charleston. Give us a call. John is here. John Burdett with 4th Avenue Financial. Okay, going into the break, John, Social Security, so it might be in the last 2 weeks, maybe it was last week. I think the date was 2034. Was that the date?
I can't remember, but that date always seems to be close, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, what does that really mean?
Well, I mean, it is basically accounting, but that does not mean that, you know, the checks will stop. If you think about Social Security, you know, we're all paying into it if we're working. Mm-hmm. And basically what it means is that the trust fund, from an accounting standpoint, will be gone, basically, and that all the checks will be funded through our contributions, current contributions, or taxes if Congress has to make up the deficit there. The reality is I would think that Social Security is going to continue for a long, long time, because politically it's going to be very hard to default on Social Security checks.
Right.
And so most likely what will happen is Social Security checks will come in some fashion, and there might be a chance down the road for younger people that won't buy as many groceries in retirement because they do have a cost of living function in Social Security. But if they're going to have trouble paying Social Security checks, my guess is, though, you know, if they fudge that number 1% or something a year, it doesn't take very long to make trillions of dollars up.
Right.
And Congress doesn't have to vote on anything. So my guess is that's how it's going to happen.
Right.
Because Congress doesn't want to take a stand on it, I'm sure.
No, that would not be politically
expedient.
Yeah.
That would be not good for Congress.
Right. So the number we hear and the IOUs that are written and all those things, where they keep them in Parkersburg.
That's right.
They keep all the IOUs down there behind the Parkersburg, down here behind the Wood County Courthouse at the Social Security office. It's just a number right now, right? It's just an accounting issue.
That's pretty much what it is. I mean, there are, even if the government would say, you know, we're only going to pay out what's coming in. I the last number, and I don't know exactly, but it's in the 70-some percent range of all the workers are contributing about 70% of the payments that are necessary. So that doesn't mean Social Security even goes to zero, even if Congress would say, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of cash flow
right
there to pay Social Security benefits.
We used to get informed yearly. You used to get a – you know, something in the mail that said, okay, here's what you're – but that doesn't – so now you have to go on to the site, right, and make an account.
Yes.
And be able to look. Would you recommend people to do that?
Yeah, that especially if you're getting close to retirement. That's a real good calculation. A lot of times folks come into the office and we're starting to do financial planning. And if you haven't looked at that, you know, that's a – we can estimate that based on the software and the incomes and things like that. But the way Social Security is counted, you really – to do it accurately – you have to have the wage schedule that you've paid in all of those years, and only Social Security has that record.
Right. Okay, 304-345-5858, 304-345-5858. John Burdette with 4th Avenue Financial. Lines are open. All right, inflation rate, 8.6%.
Yes.
We've learned in the last week. What does that mean?
Well, it means it's a little higher than it was intended, and that's why the market kind of got upset by that. You know, there was some hope that the inflation rate may have peaked a few months ago. I believe it was 8.5, and then it the following month it dipped to 8.3. So maybe folks were thinking, well, maybe we finally peaked and we're slowly coming down the backside. Well, then 8.6. So we're back to the highest inflation rate since, I believe, 1981. It's what came out last week, and that spooked the market. And that made this week's Fed decision – all eyes are now on that because the market was kind of expecting a half point interest rate increase, and now it might be 75 basis points or 0.75%. So that market expectations have had to change, and you've seen the bond yields jump, and you know soon to follow mortgage rates and everything else that comes from that will probably follow suit. And but the inflation rate of 8.6%, I mean, everyone that has filled their car up or gone to the grocery store or you know, gone to a restaurant or really participated in life at all is experiencing that inflation rate firsthand. And it's basically, it's one of those things that some of it is a result of decisions that were made, I think, during the pandemic. Hey, let's not work and let's throw money out there. That's not a real good recipe to have, stable prices because you have a lot of money chasing goods that aren't being produced anymore. And so you have things like this a situation set up where it's induced, it could cause something like this. And then on top of that, what really makes inflation tricky is the expectations of people. Because once it gets ingrained into your mind that prices are going to be higher tomorrow than they are today, what does that make you do? It makes you go out and spend money today.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out and spend money today, what does that do? That's more money chasing limited supply. What does that do? That creates higher prices. So it almost becomes a cycle that is – and that's why inflation is so hard to break, because some of it is truly the – some of the actions that were taken by government, and some of it is just the psychological impact of higher prices and the concept that, I'm going to buy a house today if I think it's going to be worth 20% more next year. I'm going to go – you can see that on social media. People going to the gas station with 15, plastic tanks filling them up in the back of their truck, thinking they're buying gas for $5 because they think it's going to be $6. That drives inflation higher because the consumption is happening quicker.
Okay, so when does that turn into recession?
Well, the reality is no one knows that answer. I mean, what the Federal Reserve is trying to do is increase interest rates to make it more cost prohibitive to do certain actions, which should slow down the spending. And so the trick is, can they slow the spending down without crashing the spending? And
that's what a recession would be, when you recess, when you spend.
That's right. And the reality is, I mean, it's a fine line because you want it to actually come down. You just don't want it to collapse. And so Will they be able to do that? Who knows? That's the big question. Mm-hmm. And that's what the market's, upset about. And that's why you're seeing certain types of companies not do as well as others in the marketplace right now, because people are adjusting to what they believe those expectations and how they'll play out.
And the supply chain still creating issues. Jimmy Ristin, the state highway commissioner, was before the lawmakers yesterday saying, we have problems getting equipment, we have problems getting supplies to build roads.
Right. Yeah, I have lots of clients that have businesses in those type of fields, and even things like the stimulus money that was passed. Most people politically across the spectrum, it was a bipartisan bill, could agree that, hey, maybe there's some things we need to spend money on for infrastructure. Okay. Most of the people that do that type of work, if you talk to them, have a 2 or 3 year backlog of work. Well, what's extra money thrown into that pile going to do? Probably drive prices up and make competition more for the limited amount of goods and services and professionals to do that work. And so, at some point, the market can only do so much, and throwing extra money into it, it's not always the best answer.
Okay, so how, and this is, and John Burdett's with us, 4th Avenue Financial. Again, the lines are open, 304-345-5858, 304-345-5858. 4th Avenue Financial can help you navigate through these things. And so what if interest rates go up 0.75 point? Would that be favorable for the market, or?
From day to day, it's hard to tell what the market's going to do. I will say this. I think that the market over time, if it believes that things are finally getting under control, that will be a positive. Mm-hmm. If it feels like things are still out of control, that's a negative. Now, when that line happens, and I don't know, that's a decision that all the market – millions of market participants are trading every day. They're going to come up to that conclusion at different times, I'm sure. But that is really what the market wants. The market wants order and stability. And if this is one of the means to get there, for sure, will it be enough? Will there be more? That remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned, that's why it's so important to have your personal affairs your personal funds ready for the ups and downs and all those things that's going to happen.
Right. And in a financial plan, you can only control so many things. You can't control the market. You can control how you're allocated. You can control that you're using the right investment tools for the job you have at hand, whether it be income or whether it be long-term growth to protect yourself against inflation. You can't control the news cycle. You can't control things that are unexpected, like COVID that happened. You can't control those things. But you can build a plan that is resilient to many of those things. And you can control your actions. How do I respond when these things happen? Do I have faith in the process long term that has worked so well? Or do I panic? And do I flee the assets that are really the only way for you to long-term get to the goal that you have? And so that's what we can control. But we can't control the day-to-day movements of the market. Sometimes they're irrational.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett is a good example. I've heard him talk before, Berkshire Hathaway, his company. I think it's 4 times, it might be 5, in his career that Berkshire Hathaway stock has fallen more than 50%. Now, here's the greatest investor of a generation, but most people would say at least he's in the top of that. He didn't foresee that in his own company. Well, how is anybody going to predict day to day what the market's going to be? You don't. But that doesn't mean he wasn't successful. He controlled his reaction and actions to that. He made prudent decisions and focused on what he could control. He could control how he responded, mm-hmm. how he structured his plan.
Well, and again, we came back to this. That's why it's good to have a calm financial advisor who can give some good advice. Because if you just read the headlines, and you go to the gas station and you say, I got $40 to put in, and you get 8 gallons,
right?
You know, that, then you I mean, that's, you just shake your head.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. But the last two times I filled up my wife's car, it was over $100.
Yeah.
That, you know, that you don't think much about it, but when it hits the triple digits, it's like, wow.
Wow. Yeah, and then you're back there the next week or back there the next 4 days or whatever.
That's
it is.
That's right. That's right. It,
you know?
It definitely you definitely start to feel it.
Well, that segues here because we want to talk about a little bit about vacation and maybe trying to do it a little more economically.
Yeah. We wrote an article that we posted, just how to save on vacations.
Yes.
And, you know, you can use this for vacations, but you can use this for a lot of things. I mean, what we're talking about here is how do you deal with inflation? How do you deal with rising costs and yet still accomplish some of the things you want to accomplish? And I think like a vacation, set your expectation. You know, what is it that you want out of a vacation? If you just go somewhere without a plan, you know, every time you see the parasail, they say, I want to do that. And then you look over here and you ride the banana boat. And, you know, before you know it, you've spent a lot of money that you didn't have in the budget. And it's okay to do those things, but have a little bit of expectation of what you want this to look like going into it so you're not falling prey to some of those last-minute decisions that can really, really blow a budget.
You want to establish a budget. That's point number two.
Yes. I mean, for sure. I mean, if you have if you saved, you know, $2,000 to take a vacation, you know, make that be your budget. Don't, in this environment, spend money that you don't have. Don't put it on a credit card that you might be paying on for that vacation for, you know, years later. This is not the time to do those type of things when there's so much uncertainty in pricing. And interest rates are rising. When interest rates rise, what happens to your credit card interest rates? The already exorbitant interest rates go even higher.
Yeah.
And so that type of debt can be dangerous. So certainly stick to a budget and be very careful about you know, how you spend that money.
And I think what you also have working here, John, is there's still some of that pent up people who want to go because, I mean,
absolutely,
that maybe held off, obviously held off in 2020, but may have held off in 2021 too.
Right. But you're also seeing, you know, people now maybe making some, you know, decisions. And there again, those are things you want to see in an inflationary environment. You want to see people making and altering their plans. I have a client that is an executive at one of the big home type stores, and they're seeing an increase in abnormal increase in patio equipment and grilling equipment and things like that, and throughout the organization they're thinking, well, maybe this is a result of people staying closer to home rather than traveling and paying money for gas and all the things that have gone up so high. You know, that's kind of substitution. You know, maybe I can't take this trip because gas is so high, but we can have a nice time out here on the patio and spend the summer here.
Well, I think West Virginia State Parks have seen some of that. And
yep.
I know there's there's business from outside the state, but I think a lot of it's inside the state too.
Absolutely.
Folks going to state
parks. Stay closer to home. And I think that might be one of the points here.
Take shorter trips.
Shorter trips, stay closer to home. You know, instead of taking a week, take a long weekend. You know, you can still experience the vacation getaway and maybe cut the cost of it down because you're not staying the full length of a week. So you're still getting that, hopefully getting a little bit of that recharge and experiencing some new things, but saving a little money along the way. These are things you need to think about when prices are rising. We're getting ready to go to Florida, and normally we fly, but my wife is staying down for a month, and so we're going to drive down. And I started thinking about it. Gosh, it's way more expensive to drive than it is even fly
it
right
is.
Now.
It is, even to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at that. I mean, that's even, you know, if you're going to fill up, say you're going to fill up four times.
Right.
You know. I mean, you start putting that together.
You start putting it together, and it's like, we're going to spend $600 driving to Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's crazy times. And you also, number five here is travel together.
Absolutely. Travel together. You know, that, you know, split a house or something of that nature. You know, you're spreading your costs out that way for sure. You might be able, depending on the size of your family, even to carpool down. There are all kinds of ways you can use that concept to save money. But like I say, and it's not just on vacations. That's what this article is about. But it's the same thing when you go to the grocery store. You know, if beef's gone up more than you want to pay, you can substitute. You know, buy chicken, buy some other type of protein. You know, you see a lot of that in these type of inflationary environments. I think we talked over the break about something people are seeing in the store. It's a shrinkflation.
Shrinkflation, yeah.
Where the packages are smaller than they were, and the price is the same. So yeah. It's same thing as a price increase. You're paying more per unit, but they try to fool you with the package sizes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we got about 2.5 minutes left, and John Burdett with Fourth Avenue Financial. Okay, John, great advice today. Now, say someone, you know, wants to get a hold of you. I mean, you know, wants to have this conversation, which would be wise to have. How do they do that?
Well, the best way is just give us a call, 304-746-7977. Give us a call at the office. They can also go online, book an appointment online at fourthavenuefinancial.com. What typically will happen is we will forward them a short survey worksheet to put their financial information down. That's the starting point. It's about a 10-minute process. Gather the proper information. And then we have a meeting either in person or Zoom, depending on what the client would like to do. And we just get to know one another and get to know the situation. No obligation, no cost for that. And from there, I'll have the information. If they want to move forward, I'll have the information to do a financial plan for them and make some proposals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's again, I mean, it's good to be able to be in financial shape to kind of take these ups and downs where we are now.
No doubt about it. There needs to be resiliency built into that plan, and there needs to be some clear-headed thinking around the decisions that are being made right now, because emotional decisions are the ones that get you in trouble.
All right. So what do we watch this week, John? What will be the big financial headlines?
I think Wednesday is going to be the what the Federal Reserve does. So that's going to be it. You know, if they go 75 basis points or 50 basis points, who knows? They might even surprise with a one to try to shock the system. But how the market responds, you know, I don't know. Those are the unknowns. We'll have to see how it plays out. But everybody's going to be looking for Wednesday.
Yeah, and we kind of started out today kind of beat up after last week, right? So things were
– Well, and it, when I looked at the futures, it looks like we're going to have another rocky start.
That's what's happening right now.
That's what's happening. You got to deal with it.
Okay. All right. So John's with us again. John, give us the information how to get a hold of you guys.
FourthAvenueFinancial.com, 304-746-7977 is the number. We're 170 Court Street. We're right across from Tidewater, right beside National Travel, right downtown. Easy to get to. We have free parking on site.
And you abut the new Slack Plaza.
Oh, yeah. Come down Wednesday and we can walk over and have lunch at the food trucks.
Yeah.
We did that last week. That was pretty nice.
Exactly. Pretty nice indeed. All right, John. Thanks a lot. Good seeing you again.